Which is a good question, because it has been a little bit since we've been together. So if you don't know, my name is Ricky. I used to work here, and I'm back. I'm back. So I've been gone. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's all right. All two of you that led that clap. That's great. No, I am excited. But if you don't know, I have been gone. I've been gone for 5 weeks at Officer Development School. And if you're kind of wondering, or you've been visiting since then, and you're like, I don't really know what any of this he's talking about. So I am a reserve chaplain in the U.S. Navy. So think National Guard, but on a boat, okay? A weekend a month, 2 weeks a year. But in order to prepare for that life, everyone has to go to officer development school. And so that's what I've been doing for the past 5 weeks. I've been in Newport, Rhode Island. If you get a chance to go to Newport in September, it is beautiful. I don't try to do the officer school, but just go on vacation. Beautiful weather. And I loved my time there. And officer development school is for all of what we call the staff corps in the U.S. Navy. So these are your lawyers, your doctors, your dentists, the nurses. Everyone goes there for kind of a crash course, sometimes literally, on how to be an officer in the Navy. So it's 5 weeks of basic type officer training. My typical day, I'd get up at 3:30 to be ready for PT, physical training, that would start out on the field shortly after 4. We would do all the exercises you can imagine. We would invariably, as a company, mess up one of the exercises and get to do extra exercises to make up for the exercises we didn't do correctly. We then go to chow. We would then, after we ate, we'd get 30 minutes for 156 people to use 12 showers. Do the math on that one. And then we'd go to class. Sometimes class would be looking at a PowerPoint presentation that would put you to sleep in the first 1 minute. But sometimes we'd do really fun things, like learn how to fight fires. We learn how to patch holes in ship hulls in case we, started to sink. That's a good thing to learn. Then we'd go run some more, and we'd eat again, and, you know, all the fun stuff of physical training and of basic training. So I've been doing that for the past 5 weeks. I am grateful for Katie, for Tom, for the whole staff team that held down the fort while I was gone and allowed me to fully focus on that training. But I'm excited to be back and to be here with you. And I'm very excited that our first thing that we get to do together is to gather around the Lord's table. And so I want to read a passage of Scripture that sets our attention on the table and on that last night of Jesus' life as he gathers around the table. So I'm going to read from Luke's telling of the story, Luke chapter 2, verses 14 through 22. So I want you to hear this word that Luke shares with us. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that one by whom he is betrayed. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Amen. Jesus says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. I have gained a new appreciation for having a leisurely meal with those that you love the most. Because over the past 5 weeks, I have not had the opportunity to have a leisurely meal with those that I love the most. I promised in the first service that I would only tell one basic training story a week. So I'm going to tell this one version of it, and then I'll spare you the rest of the details. But every time we ate together as a company, there's a very rigid set of rules that we had to follow when we gathered to eat at the galley. You can imagine that feeding 156 people in 15 minutes is a bit of a challenge. And so we had a set way that we did this. We had to get in formation at the door of the galley. We had to then march in. We had to keep ourselves at attention until we got our tray. Then you had to hold your tray, elbows in. You had to arrange your plate and your cup and your silverware in exact locations. Then you walked up to the serving line and you took what they gave you. You didn't get an option, right? So whatever they were serving, that's what you were eating that day. Then you moved quickly and smartly and quietly to the cup and you got either water or Gatorade. No caffeine, no soda, nothing of that. Just water or Gatorade. Then you would get at your seat. You would stand at attention, holding your plate until everyone got at the table. Then the section leader would, as soon as they arrived, they would order you all to take your seat. You would sit, and you would then eat. And what's very important is we learned that you had to eat at attention. Has anyone ever tried to eat at attention? It's a little bit of a difficult situation, right? You have to stare straight ahead. There's no talking to one another. And you bring your food to you. You don't lean over to eat. You bring your food to your mouth. And the section leader is calling out the time to let you know, 0 5 minutes remaining. 0 1 minute remaining. This is your immediate warning. Take feet. And you'd stand up. You're done. And then you're out the door, back in formation, and on to your next thing. And in case you're wondering, you always had a very helpful a drill instructor right in your ear to let you know when and if you messed up and explain to you exactly what was going to happen now that you messed up. You were going to be invited to go back outside for a little remedial physical training, which is just doing push-ups until you realize that, yes, you have to eat at attention. But here's the thing. Every time I had that meal, you know the thought that I had in my head? 5 weeks from now, I'm going to get to sit with my wife, Megan, and have a leisurely meal without anybody yelling, without anybody counting down the 5 minutes to eat, and we will be able to take our time. I have never looked forward to a meal as much as I did that first meal the night of graduation when I got to sit with Megan. And the reason I tell you that is when I hear Jesus say the words, "I have eagerly desired to celebrate this meal with you," I hear that so differently now when I think about that time that I finally got to sit and be reunited with Megan. I want to ask you a question. Is there someone in your life today that you would do anything to be able to sit and have a meal with again? Maybe a family member you haven't been able to see in a few months or maybe a couple of years. Maybe a friend from college that you've kind of lost touch with, but you were the best of friends, and it would just be amazing to get together with them again and share a simple meal. Maybe it's a dear loved one who's gone to glory, and you would do anything to simply have one more dinner. Who do you eagerly desire to share a meal with? On the last night of his earthly life, Jesus gathers his closest friends for a meal. And as the meal begins, he looks each one of them in the face and he says, I have eagerly desired to celebrate this meal with you. He says, before I suffer, this is where I wanted to be. In this passage, we see into the heart of God, in the person of his son Jesus. We see what is on his heart and his mind the night before he is to make the ultimate sacrifice. We see into the heart of God in what his true desires are. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. I love that in this one sentence, Jesus packs so much about his mission and his life and the perspective and desires of God. He packs all of this into this one simple sentence. And before we come to the table, I want to walk us through these three moments of this sentence because it's so very important. I want you to notice he tells us that he desires to feast with us. Second, he tells us that he knows he is going to suffer. And third, he tells us that on the other side of his suffering, there is a kingdom. So I want us to focus on those three parts of this one sentence. First, that he desires to feast with us. Now, this is a very important meal that Jesus has gathered his disciples to celebrate. It's the Feast of Passover. And if you remember, the Passover is a meal that commemorates the story of God redeeming and rescuing and saving the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt through the wilderness of the Exodus and into the promised land. And in particular, the meal of Passover celebrates the final plague that God uses to convince the Egyptians to let his people go. That final plague, the death of the firstborn, and how on that night, God had sent his angel, and the angel had passed over the houses of the people of Israel so that their sons and their firstborn were spared death. And on the very next day, Pharaoh relents and allows the people to go. And so every year, the people of God, no matter where they were or what was going on in their life, every year they paused and celebrated this Passover meal. They would tell the story of how in the face of certain death, they had been rescued. That death had passed them over, and by the sacrifice of the blood of a lamb, they had been set free. And so Jesus, on the last night that he's going to be alive on this earth, he gathers to celebrate this Passover meal. And he takes this meal and he transforms it by taking the common elements of the Passover meal, the bread and the wine, and telling his disciples that he was going to do something for them. I want you to think about the answer to this question. If you had one more day on earth, and if you knew that that was going to be the last day that you ever had on earth, who would you spend it with? And what would you do? We see into the heart of God that on the last night of Jesus' earthly ministry and earthly life, he chooses to have a meal. a meal that reminds the people of how God has brought them out of slavery into promised land, a meal that he shares with his closest friends, and the meal that he then transforms into a promise that God, who did it once, will do it again. Which leads us to that second part of the sentence. I've eagerly desired to share this Passover meal with you before I suffer. Jesus lets his disciples know that he's about to suffer, that what he is about to face will not be easy. And I know that we've heard this story probably so often that we kind of forget, but that at the heart of our faith is a divine mystery in which we believe that Jesus was fully God and also fully human. And because of that, we know that as God, he knew exactly what was about to happen. And as a human, he knew the pain that he was to endure. He knew what it was like to hurt. He understood the process of death. And he knew that the next 24 hours was not going to be easy. He knows that as he breaks the bread and as he pours the wine at that meal, he knows that in just a few short hours, his body will be broken and his blood will be poured out. He doesn't deny the reality of what is about to happen. But he has decided that he will approach his death in the exact same way that he has approached his whole life, by trusting in his Father and sharing with his friends. He is going to suffer for his companions. And you know what the word companion actually means? I know it's been a while, and we normally love to do little lessons on language here, don't we? So you knew I wasn't going to come back and not give you a word study. The word companion is actually a Latin word that means with bread. A companion is someone that you share bread with. Jesus is approaching his death by sharing his life with those whom he shares bread with. And the third thing he teaches us in this one sentence is that on the other side of suffering and death, there is a kingdom that is coming. In fact, Jesus helps us to see in this meal a foretaste of this kingdom that's coming, an anticipation of a great day in which we will celebrate a great feast around our King. And it's nothing fancy. He just uses simple bread and a cup to let us get a glimpse into that kingdom. A kingdom where the wine flows freely and the bread never runs out. A kingdom in which there is room at the table for every sinner and every saint. A kingdom in which justice and mercy run down like an ever-flowing stream. A kingdom where the lion lays down with the lamb and no one studies war anymore. A kingdom where death is defeated and life overflows. And until that kingdom comes in its fullness, we are invited to gather for a foretaste. With simple bread and a simple cup. And so, we come today to do exactly what Jesus asked us to do. Now, when you woke up this morning, it may have taken you a few moments to realize where you were. Try to look at your alarm clock and see, did you oversleep or did it just not go off? Stumbled to the kitchen to make a cup of coffee or whatever you do in your morning routine. When you woke up this morning, you may not have realized that Jesus has had you on his mind. That Jesus eagerly desires to share a meal with you. A feast of simple bread and a simple cup. To remind you of how God has saved you and how God will deliver you into a kingdom without end. For the past 5 weeks, I have eagerly desired to be back at this table as well. Because here at this table, we are reminded that sin can be forgiven, that death is defeated, and that life eternal flows out from the cup of Christ. So as we gather here, we gather for a foretaste. So let's have dinner. Amen. Amen. Sisters and brothers, Christ our Lord invites to this his table all who love him, those who earnestly repent of their sin and who seek to live in unity and charity with God and with their neighbors. So before we come to this table, I invite you into a few moments of silent reflection, confessing to God those sins, those mistakes, those failures of this past week, and in that moment, entrusting to him all of those things. Let us silently pray. Sisters and brothers, hear this good news from Holy Scripture, that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And this is proof of his love toward us. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We come now to this, his table, to remind ourselves, to remember the story, that how on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to his Father, and blessing it and breaking it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. And as often as you gather to eat of it, do this in remembrance of me." When the supper had ended, he took a cup. Again, he gave thanks to his Father. And then blessing it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you gather to drink of it, do this in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these mighty acts of God in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. We pray, Father, that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us and on these simple gifts, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would make them into the body and blood of Christ, and by that same Spirit, make us into Christ's body. We who are redeemed by his blood. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until he comes in final victory and we feast together at the heavenly banquet. All this we ask, Father, uniting our voices together with the prayer that your Son taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we prepare to take this meal, I want to give you a word of invitation and explanation. First, the explanation. You are invited to come forward as you desire. We'll have a station here to receive by intinction. Take a piece of bread, dip it into the cup. We also have individual cups if you would prefer to have the small cup of juice as well. You are invited to come as you desire and when you are ready, and then to return to your seat. And here's the invitation. This table does not belong to us here at the church, doesn't belong to our denomination. Rather, it belongs to Jesus. And so all are invited to join this feast with him. If you're visiting with us and you would prefer not to receive, that's completely understandable. We invite you to enter into a time of prayer, remembering where two or three are gathered, that Jesus is with us. And so when you're ready, as the ushers help us to come forward, you are invited to come, taste, and see. The Lord is good. Amen.